Okay, go ahead, please.
That's fine, you're enough of an audience. I did look up some of the different statutes of the health-related license.
Could you talk right into the mic, please?
I chose five to talk with you about today, and I based them on the size of the licensing board and the type of activity that they dealt with. In other words, I didn't look at things like massage technicians and occupational therapists. I looked at nurses, dentists, chiropractors, psychologists. And what I found, all of these boards have authority currently to impose civil penalties of $1,000. But when we go to the different sections about how their funds are deposited and accounted for, there are some differences. Psychologists require that the funds are deposited to an account and are continuously appropriated to pay the expenses related to administering the board. Nurses has a specific clause within the civil penalty clause that states that the penalties recovered need to be credited to a special account, which is described in a separate statute. Mm-hmm. Which says, excuse me, it says that it shall be kept, this record shall indicate by separate cumulative amount the source from which the monies are derived and the individual activity or program against which each withdrawal is charged. So the Board of Nursing specifies that they need to keep track by category. The Board of Dentistry has something that's a little different. It asks that all the fines imposed and collected be given to the county in which the action takes place, and that the county then pays for any expenses it incurs, and after that, then deposits anything left over into the account of the Board of Dentistry to be used in carrying out the activities of that board.
What do you mean by the county, sir?
Well, if you impose a civil penalty on an individual and they do not pay it, then you can file a lien against them in the county in which they live. And so this would then ensure that the county would have a recovery for any expenses they would incur in carrying out the collection. And then anything left over would go back to the board to carry out its administrative functions. Chiropractors is not specific. It's very much like psychologists. It just says that the money will be deposited in an account for chiropractors and will be used to administer the program. And the last one I looked at was the Board of Mortuary and Cemetery. And also in their civil penalty, it does stipulate that all amounts recovered will go into an account. And then when it describes the disposition of those receipts under that statute, it says that the monies will be used to enforce this chapter or for the purpose of education of funeral practitioners and embalmers. Our existing statute for the Board of Radiologic Technology is like the Board of Nursing. It requires us to keep an activity, or it requires us to keep by activity, I should say, the amount of money received and disbursed.
But does the board currently have the ability to impose civil fines?
No, that's what we're asking for in 2132.
So.
But we do other, we license radiologic technologists. We also license limited permit holders. And we do try and keep those programs somewhat separate so that we can keep revenue and expenditures appropriately. I'd like to add that we're not asking for civil penalty authority in order to fund our budget.
Mr. Chair?
Representative NATO?
In these other groups that you mentioned, did they have a separate part of their statute authorizing the civil penalties to go into this fund? I mean, was it spelled out in the law? Or?
In a couple of them, excuse me, yes, in a couple of them. It was specifically spelled out in, you know, 688-700. You may impose civil penalty in Section 2, and in Section 4, all monies received from this function will go into the account as described in 688-900.
I see.
Do you know, by chance, what happens in the event the place that the money is to go is not specified? Does it go to the general fund?
Mr. Chair, I am not certain. In all of the ones that I looked at specifically, it did go into the specific accounts. I have heard individuals say that it goes to the general fund, but I personally was not able to validate that.
Members, I would suggest that we go ahead and deal with the bill, and I'll ask Terry to check to make sure that the money goes into the general fund if we do not specify where it goes. I think probably that's what would happen, because they have no authority to keep the money, I believe. And if it does go into the general fund, you don't have any objections to that. You don't need the, are not relying on this money to fund the enforcement. And so that the language of the bill would be appropriate then, I think. But I think that we do need to check it. If we do have to bring it back, we can reconsider it. We can check on that today or tomorrow. Tomorrow, probably, not today.
Mr. Chair?
Representative NATO?
My only concern is that they are able to take out the costs of any legal action or whatever they might have to take out of this fund. I don't know if the hearing and all that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stein.
Yeah, on our fiscal statement here, it indicates that it's going to probably cost about $5,500 to run this operation. They're going to make between four and seven, so they're even going to lose $1,000 or make a couple thousand. But I think Representative NATO's point is well taken. A bite out of their budget of $5,000 may make a difference, I assume. I assume they don't have a really large budget.
Well, okay, the other alternative would be the continuously appropriated language that you have in with one of the boards there.
Yeah. I guess that's what I would suggest. We're talking about a very small amount of money, and maybe it'd be an incentive to levy fines as necessary, and just keep it in-house. And then if it gets out of hand in 2 years, the Ways and Means Committee will be able to look at that.
Well, this is one area that we do need very strict controls also, I think. So I suppose by doing that, we would encourage enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, the expenses that we have in the fiscal impact statement are for the hearings officer. We're anticipating that the board staff, existing board staff, will be able to absorb the additional workload. So we're not asking for any money to support additional staff.
I think that perhaps Representative NATO and Representative Stein were talking about other expenses, not necessarily staff.
Well, the hearings officer, exactly, they're going to have to pay for the hearings officer. Or maybe there end up being some kind of appeal beyond that even. I don't know.
I would imagine that'd be in your regular budget anyway, wouldn't it? And also for attorney general fees to represent you in contested court cases?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnes, presently it's not in our budget, in our 91-93 budget. We were told that if, in fact, the legislation did pass, that we could go to the emergency board for funds to cover the hearing officer. I just wanted to make it clear to the committee that we were not interested in this issue as a means to enhance our staff. We were interested in being able to cover the funds to hire a hearings officer, but not to, to build on existing board staff at all.
Members, as soon as we find the language, I'll move that we have the money continuously appropriated to the division. And this has not been the Ways and Means, has it?
No, it has not. It's the Board of Nursing.
Okay. This is from the Board of Nursing statutes. And it has a sentence that reads, "Such monies are appropriated continuously and shall be used only for the administration and in enforcement of ORS," given the appropriate statutes there. So I will move this language. Unfortunately, I don't have, okay, let's see.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I come forward and show you something?
Yes. Okay, members, what's being pointed out here is the language that shows that the monies will be appropriated to the, credited to a special account. We haven't established a special account, though, have we?
And then here, they make reference to this statute, and then here's the statute.
Okay, members, I think, okay, thanks. I think what I'll do is just move in concept that the monies be appropriated to the division for enforcement of the statutes in question here, and then refer to legislative council and have it brought back to make sure we've got it correct. Okay. Any discussion on that motion?
The only thing, just technically, I don't know if you want to say for the purpose of enforcing the statute, because then you may end up with like $500. Like, what are we supposed to do with this? It should just be continuously appropriated.
Yes.
I mean, whatever the language they use, I assume that's the way it is.
Yeah, it says more than enforcement. I think enforcement and operation.
Yeah, okay, right. So you don't end up with some money, or you're not sure where it's supposed to be.
Right. So I'll move that in concept. Further discussion on that motion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, we'll close the work session then on House Bill 2135. It's like baking a cake from scratch, I guess. It takes a lot more time this way.
Without a recipe.
Without a recipe. For the first time.
Grandma did it somehow, like.
Deputy Secretary of State Mike Greenfield is here if you want to move on.
Okay.
To 454 first.
Okay, we will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 454. Mike Greenfield? Members, this have to go back to Ways and Means.
We'll go to Ways and Means.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mike Greenfield. I'm Deputy Secretary of State With me is Jan Sullivan, Administrator for the Corporations Division, and she can discuss the bill in better detail than I can.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 454 does several things. First of all, it will shift funding for business registry from the general fund to other funds. And it will also establish an operating account in the general fund. It will repeal the current automation account and the surcharge fees. We've taken the liberty to standardize the fees throughout 12 OIS chapters that we administer. And it will net an increase in total revenue to the general fund of $2.3 million. What the bill does, it will allow for all the revenue collected to go into this operating account. And on a monthly basis, any excesses that are not necessary for business registry administration will be transferred to the general fund, and those monies will become available for general fund purposes. Under the current law, the surcharge fees go into our automation account, and they remain in that account for automation purposes. All other funds from the statutory fees are currently, they go currently into the general fund. The surcharge fees that are found in ORS 56150 are scheduled to sunset on July 1 of 1993. And what Senate Bill 454 does will incorporate the surcharge fees into the statutory fees, making them permanent. By doing this...
Is there really such thing as a temporary fee or temporary tax?
Probably not. At the same time, we applied some standardization to all the fees in those 12 statutes. We did this to eliminate a lot of the confusion to the general public. What happens when people file documents with us, they'll refer to the proper statutory of the statutes, and they're not aware that surcharge fees exist. So when we get the document in, we have insufficient funds. So in return, we reject the filing. And consequently, we have a lot of unhappy people when that occurs. The B and Gross version of Senate Bill 454 incorporates amendments that were made by the Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. And basically, what they did, applied some increases to the business corporation fees, but decreases to the nonprofit corporations. For your information, I've attached some letters of support that we've received from various law firms. We have worked with the Oregon Bankers and OAI. We contacted several nonprofit corporations. And we really haven't had any opposition to this bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stone.
Yeah, just on these fees for the nonprofits, what does the bill say now about them? I haven't found that quickly enough. How much are they? Oh.
Mr. Chair, Representative Stein, we originally had the articles of incorporation for nonprofits at $40, and Ways and Means reduced those to $20.
I see.
And for reinstatements, the fee was changed from $30 to $20, and for annual reports, $20 to
$10. Mr. Chair.
Representative Alden.
Could you explain to me what the surcharge fees are all about, why they came into existence, what the need was?
Mr. Chair, Representative Walden, the surcharge fees were established in 1985, and the purpose of the surcharge fees were to collect money so that in the future we could use the monies for automation. And at the time that we put in our present computer system, we borrowed money to place the, put in the current computer system. And as of today, we've accumulated monies in that account which we could use for automation purposes.
If I may follow up, Mr.
President.
So when the legislature approved this initial surcharge fee, it was for a dedicated purpose of automating the corporation division. And have you done that automation?
Representative Wallen, the automation was completed in 85. And over the past several years, we've had some updates to that computer system, but it's been maybe like $30,000, $40,000.
And how much money are we talking about in the surcharge fees annually that you'd like to see continue?
Representative Wallen, are you talking about a total amount that we collect in surcharge? We are estimating that we will collect $1.7 million in surcharge fees.
And so you're going to collect $1.7 million annually, or $3.4 million in the biennium?
Representative Wallen, that's for the biennium.
Oh, $1.7 million for the biennium.
That's correct.
And in another place in this building, we're wrestling with another fee that was due to sunset, and now other people have other purposes for it. And I guess we talk about trying to get credibility with voters. It gets a little dicey when we tell them we need this extra money for a cause. And then after that cause has been completed, we say, thank you, now we need the money for something else, or we're just going to keep it. That's a philosophical argument. I don't expect necessarily you all to make the opposite case on it unless you want to. I would understand, I guess, if there's a need for more automation. But what I see here is the money simply goes to the general fund.
Mr. Chair, Representative Walden, we took a look at the budget when Secretary Kiesling arrived in the office and significantly reduced the fee amounts and then asked Jan Sullivan to carefully work with those people who were going to have to pay these fees so they would understand what the money would be used for and why we were doing this kind of thing. I'm certainly not going to make the opposite case. I think we had some obligation to have interaction with those people who were going to pay that fee. And I believe that we've had that conversation. I understand that and are supportive of that approach. I think the folks that, I think you've got copies of some letters, and then I think Jan referred to some of the other the nonprofits that we've talked with, the bankers, I think members of the Associated Oregon Industries, representatives of those groups. So, you know, your point is well taken, but we've had a dialogue with our folks who are paying the bill.
Well, if I might, Mr. Chair, we're talking about fees for all corporations in the state that pay into the surcharge, pay the surcharge fee.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wallen, yes, we are.
Okay, and yeah, I'm not surprised that those nonprofits like the idea that you're going to lower their fees. And that's what I read when I read these letters, mostly, is that discussion. And most of them come either from big law firms in Portland or from the nonprofit organization itself. I realize AOI's in on this, Blue Cross Blue Shield and United Way, some religious organizations. I guess I wonder what kind of dialogue took place with the zillions of little businesses out there to get nickeled and dimed, quite frankly.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wallen, we did talk with a small business organization and they had the fee schedule in front of them, and we received no opposition to this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stein.
Yeah, I either heard you or saw somewhere in here, did you do some kind of analysis of what the fees are in other surrounding states to look at this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stein, yes, we did. In fact, we surveyed all the states on various, like the business corporation, nonprofits, not assumed business names because a lot of them were not centralized in a state office. And the majority of fees that we have in Oregon are lower than what we found in other states. Then we broke down the Pacific Northwest states, and even in that area, we found that we were, in many cases, lower than most states.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Burns.
I would assume that some of these required filings are imposed by government, hence society on an individual. What is the relationship between the cost of making these filings to your office and the charges? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to get at is if society requires something to be done, and this goes across the board, not just Secretary of State's office, then society, through their government, shares some of that cost, not just putting the whole brunt on the individual. So I'm curious to see what the relationship between what you want to charge here and what your actual office costs are.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnes, taking nonprofit corporations and just processing those filings, we spend much more time processing those filings because they are not done usually through a law firm. And we spend many more hours perfecting those filings and assisting those people. Assumed business names probably are not as complicated. However, there again, they're done by individuals, so we spend more time hand-holding, I guess. Business corporations are usually filed through attorneys, so they're pretty much perfected when we get them. As far as our computer costs, I could tell you our computer costs are averaging about $20,000 a month. And I believe that some of our fees have not been changed. Nonprofits, for instance, they have not been changed since 1959. So we haven't had a lot of fee changes in all of the fees that we have currently today.
Mr. Chair, some of these costs probably, I would imagine some that you have to review for completeness and conclusiveness and so forth, but others I'm going to just put in your file, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnes, on certain ones, yes. And if they use our forms, of course, it's a lot easier for us to do the checking and the data entry, but if they are using a free form, then we probably have to read through the document and pull out the information that we need to do the data entry.
Thank you.
It's hard to follow this bill because you just refer to statute and I can't tell what the fees are for. I've figured out what most of them are. But if you could help me a little bit here. Section 2 talks about collecting some fees. Is this your standard for-profit corporation fee schedule?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stein, maybe what I should do on Section 1 of the bill, that establishes the operating account for the general fund. Sections 2 through 35 starts the fee standardization, and we begin with Chapter 58, which is the professional corporation, 60 would be the business corporation.
That's what I want to get at.
And
58 is, let's just go through this. Section 2 is Chapter 58, and that's a professional corporation, right?
That's correct.
Section 3 is Chapter 60. What's Chapter
3? Chapter 60 would be business corporations.
Okay. And then Section 4, what's this? Chapter 62.
62 relates to cooperatives.
And then Section 5 are nonprofits, I figured out from looking at the
That's
fees.
Correct.
And then the rest of them that you can sort of figure out, the limited partnerships, condos,
trusts. We have fraternal insignias and union labels, trademarks.
Which section?
I believe that's, limited partnerships would be chapter 70. Trademarks would be chapter 648.
Which section are we in?
Section.
That's section 24. That looks like assumed business names to me.
That's correct, Representative Stein. Section 24 relates to trademarks.
Trademarks and assumed business names?
Assumed business names. Chapter 647 would be trademarks. And ORAS 554, irrigation districts.
I noticed, excuse me, one more question, Madam Chair.
Representative Stein.
In section 5,